ain't gonna lie, I still get nervous. But I love getting up and just talking about my Jesus. I'll go ahead and tell you a little bit about me. I actually grew up at Stony Mountain all my life. I'm talking 20 years and 9 months right now. I've been in that church. But I got saved when I was 4, believe it or not. And my mom tells me that not long before I actually got saved, you know, I did the whole, well, my friends are getting saved, let me do it. So they just wanted to wait and see, you know, if I was really doing it because I believed in it or if I was just following the crowd. Well, I remember this, even at 4 years old, I can't forget it. Can't really remember the message, but I do remember everything that followed after it. He gave the altar call, and I knew that I did not want to go to hell, and I knew that I wanted to trust in Jesus. As a little four-year-old, I wiggled my way past my parents. I took off down the aisle. I looked back one time, and I said, come on. We got down there and prayed over me, and I accepted Jesus as my personal Savior right then and there. Yeah, I doubted when I was 12, but you know, the whole time I was saved. But, you know, you get that doubt sometimes, but this is a no-so salvation, thank the Lord. And I'm saved to this day, and I have no doubts. And now as for being called to preach, we were sitting over there, and me and Brandon were actually on two different sides of the pew, same row, though. And, you know, he gave that altar call, and I was praying, and I opened my eyes, and I saw Brandon down there, and I had no idea why he was down there. I heard somebody say Brandon got called to preach. And I want you to I just want to tell y'all that it felt like I got hit by a Mack truck. As crazy as that sounds. And I started wrestling with it and I said, I'm not getting called. I don't want to do it because he's doing it. I don't want to do any of that. So I turned around and my parents couldn't make it that night, but I turned around and I asked Brandon's parents if they would pray for me because I was feeling something. I didn't know what, but I knew I was feeling something. I didn't want to do it because he did it. And so I was sitting there, and I was shaking like a leaf. I mean, there was a storm going on inside of me that I can't even describe. It was that powerful, but I was literally shaking. So Brandon comes walking back up. I look at him. I was like, I need to talk to you. And I just decided I need to pray with him. Well, it wasn't long before Pastor Roy and Brother Gunn there and Dean McNeese and a laundry list of other people that I don't even remember who all was there. But they were around me too. And I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, I don't want to do this because he's doing it. I want to do it because you want me to. I said, Lord, if this is what you want me to do, show me. And this whole time I'm praying this, and you know, that storm was going on in my heart. I was torn up about it, and it was just, it was crazy. And the second I said, show me, the waters went still. You know, the next day I got up, and, you know, the devil will mess with your mind. He'll tell you, nah, you didn't get called. You didn't get called. So I was wrestling with it again. I was in the shower of all places. That's where I get most of my praying done. And, you know, I'm in there, and I'm saying, Did I get called? Is this really what God wants? And mainly it's because I don't feel that I'm worthy. I don't feel that I'm worthy to be up here. And that's part of what my message is about. But I said a prayer. I said, Lord, I pray that if this is your will, give me that same peace that you did last night. And the second I prayed that prayer, that same peace came over me, and I've never doubted it since. So that's my testimony, and here we are. And I hope y'all get a blessing out of this. If y'all will turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. Now, some of y'all might know what this is about. This is the classic children's story, David and Goliath. And in fact, I got this from Children's Church, me and Brandon, last week and a little bit this week. We were teaching little kids. And let me tell you, just because this is considered a little kid's story doesn't mean that us adults or us older people can't get something out of it. Because, you know, the Bible actually tells us, it says to have faith like a child. Because you don't see a child worrying about a whole lot of stuff. All they want to know is if they're getting pudding and if they're getting their allowance this week. they look up to their father and they ask, hey, how are we going to do this? What's going to do it? And that father looks down and he says, son or daughter, let me handle it. And that child, because they have so much faith in their parents, they say, okay. And they forget about it. They don't worry about it. And so just remember that even these little kids' stories in the Bible that we teach our kids, those stories can touch our lives too. Because it's all in here for a purpose. It's all in here for a reason. We're all children of God. And we all, even if we're on steak and potatoes, sometimes it's nice to eat a little baby food sometimes. Because we're still little in the sight of God. But He can use us. So I'm gonna go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. And then we're going to start reading. And we might be here till Tuesday, but just hang on with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to You right now, Lord. I ask for Your guidance. I ask for Your wisdom. Lord, I ask for You to speak through me, Lord. This is Your service, not mine. Lord, I'm stepping out of the way and I'm letting You come front and center, Lord. Don't let me stand in the way, and if I get in the way, move me. And Lord, I just thank You for all Your many blessings, and I thank You for this opportunity to be up here tonight. And Lord, I just pray that these folks here in the auditorium get a blessing. And Lord, I pray that You give us a glimpse of Your glory. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So we're going to start. I battled all day long with what I was going to read. And honestly, I can't decide. So we're just going to roll with it. And we're going to see what God does. And we're going to start in verse number 10 of 1 Samuel 17. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was the son of the Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and he had 8 sons. A man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle, and the names of these 3 sons that went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, the next unto him, Abinadab, and the 3rd was Shema. And David was the youngest, and the 3 eldest followed Saul. I'm going to go ahead and break this part up and go ahead and say, you ever felt left out? You ever got discouraged? You ever been overlooked? It happens. You know, somebody chooses somebody else over you. It's nothing personal. Right here it was. It was because David was the youngest. He was the youngest of Jesse's sons, and he was too little. It's right here. He couldn't be used in the battle, in their opinion. So the message here is, which I'll get to all of that in a minute, just roll with me, is that sometimes you're going to be left out. Sometimes it's easy to get discouraged. But I want you to see that David was an example of what we should do. David was the prime example of what we should do and just follow God. Just hang on for the ride. It may be rough, it may be bumpy, but if we hang on to God, we'll get to where He wants us to be. And He can use us in a mighty way. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. I love that. I love that. You know, most of the time when we get our feelings hurt, this actually struck me today. Sometimes when we get our feelings hurt, the first thing we want to do is we want to pout. We want to go to our little corner and we want to pout. You know, David could have easily done that, but you see that he's obedient to the father. Now, this is talking about Jesse, of course, but he's feeding his father's sheep. He turns right around. He doesn't get discouraged about not going to the battle, and he starts feeding the sheep like he always does because that's his job. He hangs on. He hangs on with God. He knows that, well, I'm sure he was pretty let down that he didn't go with his brothers. I'm sure David had a lot of courage. He wanted to go to the battle. He wanted to protect Israel. But it wasn't his time. And the beauty of David was that he just turned around and he started feeding the sheep. He did the job that God had for him at that moment. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. And Jesse said unto David his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp of thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of the 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. Now this next verse is what you should do. All right? But it's so easy right there. David just got left out. David just got left out. He wasn't good enough. He wasn't big enough. He wasn't old enough to go to the battle. And now his dad's saying, well, you're not good enough to fight, but go ahead and take your brother some food. Go ahead and check on him. You know, it's so easy for us to get in our mind that, well, if I'm not good enough to fight, why should I take anything to them? Why should I help them? But the fact is, David didn't do that. In fact, he didn't even sleep in that day. It says, and David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all of the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have ye seen this man that come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is the uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And we're back. Okay. You know, we look earlier on in the passage, and most of y'all have read this time and time again. You've heard it time and time again. Goliath was a big dude. I mean, he's standing 9 foot something. I mean, he is ridiculously tall. You're looking up at him like this. And David is but a youth. He's not a big man. He's little. He's looking up at Goliath, you know, and it's saying that all the people, the army, were sore afraid. You know what David's first question was? It's not, oh, goodness gracious, that guy's big. His first thing was, who does this guy think he is messing with God's army? Why is he messing with my people? Why is he messing with God's people? What does he think he's doing? He wasn't worried about how big he was. He wasn't worried about anything. He was just worried about the fact that he was messing with God's army. And that right there shows a lot of faith and a lot of courage for David. And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart. For thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. All right, so David got left out. He's too little to fight in the battle. You ever had a bad day? Wake up on the wrong side of the bed, get shampoo in your eye, and then toothpaste on your shirt. That's the feeling that David had, okay? So now he goes to this battle. You know, he got left out. His dad's saying, hey, be an errand boy now. Take your brothers some food and see how they are. You can't fight, but go in and see how they are. So he gets down to the battle, and he's just asking. You know, he's more worried about, why is this guy messing with my God's army right now? And his brother hears him. His oldest brother, Eliab, hears him, and he gets mad. And he's saying, what are you doing? You're just messing around. Why? You shouldn't be here. You're just causing trouble. What are you doing here? And so David's got this stuff mounting against him. And it would be really easy to get discouraged, but you find out that David's not going to get discouraged. He's going to hang on with God. Even though his brother, you know, Saul's men, they didn't believe he was good enough. Jesse wouldn't really let him fight. Jesse let him go to the battle, but he didn't let him fight. Now Eliab's after he's already gotten to the battle and he's bringing them food, Elab's getting mad because he's there because he doesn't think he should be. So all these things are mounting up against David, but you know, even in the face of trials and tribulations, if you stick with God, he can get you through anything. And you know, we haven't even faced the giant yet. These are just problems on top of that giant that were stacking up on David. But he hung close to God and he said, Lord, you can do it. I know through you I can do it. And that's this next part. And when the words were heard for which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him, and the servant will go and fight with this Philistine. David's a wee little fella, okay? He's a wee little dude, all right? He's not very big. Now, he's a shepherd boy. You don't picture shepherds being very big, all right? He's not like big bodybuilder. He's a little guy, all right? Picture me if you want. I don't care. But he's facing this guy that's 9 feet tall. He's 9 feet tall. He's a big dude. But, you know, he goes to Saul, and he says, look, don't let anybody worry about this. Just let me handle it. Let me handle it. I got this. Now, of course, Saul, which I'll have to read the scripture here in a second, Saul says to David, he says, nah, I can't let you do that. You're just a youth. You're too little. Again, he says to David, you're too little. I can't let you do it because you're just not big enough. You're not a champion. Goliath he's a champion. He's a big man. I can't let you fight. But you know what? David was stubborn. David was stubborn. He hung with God and he said, you know what, Saul? I can do this. And let me tell you why. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. He's saying, David, you're just a boy. This guy was a warrior as a boy. All right? Goliath was probably a big bone boy even when he was 12. All right? I mean, he was never little. So he's saying, you just can't handle this. I can't let you do it. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. I'm telling you, I could go all kinds of directions with that right there. I'm going to go ahead and throw out one. You know, they called Jesus the Good Shepherd. And we see this right here. That lion and that bear rose up against that sheep and was trying to kill it. We're the sheep. He is the shepherd. You know, David stepped in between. He said, nope, you give me back that sheep. He's mine. He is my sheep. I'm not going to let you have him. And he smites the lion and the bear. And Jesus does that for us every day. So, I love this passage. It's great. Just hang on with me. We're going to keep rolling. I don't know where we're going to end up. But God will get us there. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them. See, he hath defied the armies of the living God. There's that army of the living God again. There's that army of the living God again. First of all, that lion and that bear, you ain't taking my sheep. I'm going to smite you before you do that. Now he's saying, look, Goliath, look, you ain't messing with my God's army. All right? And with my God behind me, in front of me, beside me, because he's all over the place all the time, no, I'm going to take you down. I'm going to smite you. This Philistine, he's not more worried about the Philistine than he is the lion and the bear, while his brothers are over there cowering. Worried about, oh gosh, he's just so big. David's more worried about, look, I killed a lion and a bear. I can kill this guy. Let me fight. So David's got a lot of faith in his God. God delivered him against that lion and that bear. And now he's saying, look, Saul, God can deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine, and I'm going to save Israel. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. So basically, I'm picturing this. All right? Saul, let me go. No. Saul, let me go. No. Saul, I can do this. Let me go. No. Saul, God delivered me against that lion and that bear. Let me go. Fine. Fine. Go. I'm tired of listening to you. Saul's fed up at this point, I believe. He's just like, fine, you're crazy. I think you're nuts. But you go ahead and go. And the Lord be with you. So David, you know, he's ready. He knows he can do it with his God behind him. Saul, I don't believe he's so sure, but you know what? He's going to give him a chance. Somebody's finally given David a chance. Now, it's not to be confused. God never gave up on old David. God was there the whole time. God had a purpose for David the whole time. And you know, earlier on in this book, he was anointed to be king. He was anointed to be king. So God already back, like right here, he had a plan for David. This was all part of the plan. And this right here would later, you know, this would be part of his legacy as one of the greatest kings Israel ever had. And I need more water. Okay. Now Saul, he actually tries to help old David. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also, he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them on him. All right, so I picture it like this. David puts on the armor that Saul gave him, and he looks like the Michelin Man. He can't wear it. It's too big. He's not yet proved it. He's a little lad, and they're giving him a man's suit of armor. So he can't wear it. Big old sword, big old helmet. You know, it's flopping around. It's down here, and he needs it to be right here. So he says, nah, thanks, but no thanks. Thanks, but no thanks. Now, let me ask you a question, and I want you to honestly think about it. How many of you would walk into a battle with no armor on? All right, now we don't have suits of armor like a knight. We don't have that kind of armor. But even our military today has helmets. They have, you know, vests. Our police officer has bulletproof vests. They have all of that. Well, how many of you would walk into a firefight, a war, a battle without any armor? That's what David's doing. He's walking into that battle with just his regular old clothes. And that shows tremendous amounts of faith. Because, you know, a war's going on around them. And they got this champion they got to worry about. They got a 9-foot-tall guy standing right there that's trying to defy the armies of God. And he's saying, send me down somebody that we may fight. And, you know, if you kill me, we'll be your servants. If we kill you, basically, you'll be our servants. So he's standing there, and of course, Goliath doesn't, he's not worried about anybody. He's been a warrior since he was a little kid. He's a big dude. He has nothing to worry about. It says that his spear was as a weaver's beam, and so I imagine that sucker's like that. Okay, it's the size of a small tree, and he can chuck that thing. So, I mean, you can picture the size and just the might of this Philistine. And David, he's a wee little lad, no armor on, no sword, but he's willing to go into battle for the armies of the living God because he knows that with God behind him, he can do it. God can do it. Even though everybody, from the time I started reading this scripture to the time that we are right now, everybody's been telling David he can't do it. He can't do it. Old Eliab didn't even want him at the battle. The man who, you know, they followed Saul, the three brothers, didn't take David because he was too young. Old Jesse sent him as an errand boy, but not as a fighter. Take this to your brothers, you know. So everybody's telling David you can't do it. Saul even says it to his face, I can't let you do it, you're just a youth. You're not good enough. You're not good enough to fight this giant. But David says, yes, I am, because God is with me. I have God. I have my God behind me. I'm going to keep going now. It gets better, I believe. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag which he had, even in a scrip, and a sling was in his hand, and he drew near the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and a fair countenance. Goliath, when he asked, he said, "Send me a man." He didn't say, "Send me a boy." So when David starts walking down the trail to come meet him, he's looking at this fair-skinned, you know, he's not ruddy, he's not like the other men of the army of Israel. He's looking for a bearded, strong-looking guy. Here comes this boy walking down the trail. But he was just a youth. So Goliath already at this point is not taking David seriously because he's just a youth. He's too young. He's too little. And I want to go ahead and say that this message goes a lot deeper than age. It's not talking about age. It's also talking about spiritually how big you feel. The role you play in the church, the role you play on a day-to-day basis. It doesn't matter what you are. You can be a little shepherd boy or a preacher. God can use you. Even if you feel little, you shouldn't be discouraged because God used a little shepherd boy that no one thought could do anything to kill a giant and deliver Israel out of the hands of the Philistines. Keep rolling with me. It's going to get great. Now I lost my place. There we go. And the Philistines said unto David, "Am I a dog that thou art comest to me with staves?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field." So Goliath, you know, I imagine David's kind of, one, he's determined. He knows that, look, I got God. I got God on my side. I cannot lose. You are in trouble, sir. But Goliath, being that champion, he looks at David. He starts mocking him. "What is this, my dog, that you send this thing after me? That's it? I can squash him like a bug, and this is the best you got?" So already, once again, Goliath's adding insult to injury. David's been told he can't do it, he can't do it, he can't do it. And Goliath's saying, "Oh gosh, is that a person? Oh, okay. Everyone check your shoes. David might be under there." He's making fun of him. Do you know what? David doesn't stop. David doesn't get discouraged. He doesn't turn around and run back to his brothers and say, "Come help me." He keeps walking forward because he knows he's got God. He's not discouraged. He's got his God. God delivered him out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, and he's going to deliver him out of the hand of Goliath because he has faith. He has faith in his God to deliver him. Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts and God of the army of Israel, whom thou hast defied." David, you can't do it. You're too young, you're too little. You're not good enough. Why are you even here? That's all the things that have been said to David over the course of what I've just read. But he still has the faith in his God after all of that to look Goliath right in the eye and say, "Look, I'm here for you, buddy. I'm here for you. You defied the army of the living God and you're in trouble." Now, of course, that's paraphrased, but you know what I'm saying. David had faith that his God was able. Now, I know we've all heard this story, and we all know the ending. We all know that David takes that sling and then cuts his head off. We all know that. But the fact is that what if, really think about what if David had gotten discouraged when he wasn't taken to the battle the first time? What if David had gotten that mindset that I'm not good enough? That I can't do this because I'm just a youth. That I'm too little, not good enough, I can't handle it. He got overlooked. He wasn't taken seriously. Goliath made fun of him and told him, "I'm going to make you bird food." What if he had fallen into that trap? And the devil will do that to you too. It'll get in your mind. It'll tell you you're not good enough. Why are you even trying? Why are you even here right now? You're not good enough. So the question is, are we going to be David and stick with God through all of that? Because we've seen what God can do with you if you're willing to stick with Him. If you're willing to hang on for the ride, it may be bumpy. It may be hard. He didn't promise a smooth road. But if you hold on to God and you keep walking with Him, He'll get you where He needs you. And He'll get you to the other side. David didn't get a scratch on him and he was facing a champion. He can get us through anything. All we have to do is trust Him. Trust Him. David, I love it. So easily we fall into that trap. We start saying, woe is me, woe is me. I can't sing good, and I'm guilty of this, so don't even say anything, Ben. Ben wants me to sing, and, I can't sing. But he keeps telling me I can, and, you know, joyful noise unto the Lord. So I tell you what, I'm going to sing just because of this message. Because you know what? Nobody thought David was good enough either. David probably at times didn't feel like he was good enough either. But David stuck close to God and he said, look, I may not be able to do this, but my God is. And if we do the same thing, you want to see this world changed? You want to see our churches get bigger? You want to see a revival break out? We all just stand behind God. And we let Him lead the way. And even though these people out here outside of these walls are going to tell us we can't do it, that we're full of it, that God's not real, that Jesus didn't die on a cross, that He can't save our souls, they're going to tell you that. Just hang on for the ride. Just hang on for the ride. Hold on to Him. He'll get you to the other side. We'll face that giant. And who knows what can happen? Who knows what can happen? David didn't know what was going to happen. Let's be honest here. David didn't know for sure. David didn't know. He could have easily walked down into that valley. Goliath could have thrown that weaver's beam and killed him. David didn't know that, but David trusted his God. That's what we need to do. We need to hang on to God. We need to trust Him. We need to have faith in Him. And I'm out of water. It's going to be a long day till Tuesday. But anyway, I'm gonna wrap it up here soon. But the question is, are you going to be the brothers? Are you going to be the army of Israel that was over there in their camp cowering, scared? They fell into that trap. They fell into the trap of, I'm not good enough. We can't fight this guy. He's huge. This problem's too big for us. We can't do it. We're not good enough. They fell into that trap. Or are we going to be David and say, no, I may not be able to do it. I may not be good enough. But you know what? My God is. So the question is, are we going to cower or are we going to walk into the valley? We're going to walk into the valley just full steam ahead and hang on to God and He'll bring us to the other side. He'll face that giant. Whew. God is good. God is good. The actual title of this message, which I honestly didn't know how it was all going to come out. I didn't even know how I was going to present it to you, but I think it's going pretty well. The title of this message was, You're Not Too Little, The Faith of David. And the significance of the little part, like I said, is not about age. I'm not talking to kids. Well, I am. I'm talking to everybody, though. Because I don't care if you're 5 or 105. We all can get discouraged. We can all feel little. We can all feel about that tall like we can't do anything for God. Like I don't think I can sing. You know, you don't feel like you can do something. You're not good enough at it, so why even try? You're not too little with God. You're not too little with God. All you have to do is be faithful. Give yourself to Him. Say, God, here I am. I'm not perfect. I'm a terrible person, really. I am scum, but you sent your son to die on the cross for me. And here I am. I'm an unworthy dog that for some reason you found mercy and grace for me and sent your son to die. So here I am. Here I am. I'm not good enough. I'm not tall enough. I'm not old enough. But here I am. I'm going to walk into the valley with you. It's going to be hard. I'm scared. I'm scared to death. But I'm going to do it. I'm going to walk with you, Lord, because you are able, even if I'm not. And that's the whole point of this. If you feel discouraged, if you feel like you're not good enough, if you feel like the world's weighing down on you, because David, like I said, not only did he have the giant problem in his life, Goliath, he also had that, all that stuff mounting up. His own brother getting mad at him. He was an errand boy. He wasn't, all this stuff was mounting up on David. Mounting up on David. You know, David's that example of what we should do. We should stick close to God. But I know from experience, it's easy. It's easy to fall into that and just let ourselves get into the woe is me's. I'm not good enough. Why do I even bother? Why should I do this? Oh, goodness. Why did I even try? You know, David could have been like that, but he wasn't. He stuck with God. That's what we need to do. Is just hang on. And even if you feel discouraged, right down there is a good place to talk to him. I pray in the shower. A closet's a good place. Just get with God. Say, Lord, I'm discouraged. I don't feel like I can do it. I don't feel like I'm able. I don't feel like you can use me. And I tell you, I can about guarantee you while you're right there in your shower, in your closet, it doesn't really matter where you are. You can be in the drive-thru at McDonald's, start praying. God will tell you, look, just hang on. Hang on for this ride. I can use you. You just got to be willing. And that's my message right there. Just be willing to be used by God. You may be little. You may be young. You may be old. It doesn't matter. Just hang on. Give it to God. Give those... When you're disheartened, when you feel the world just weighing down on you, get on your knees. Just say, God, I'm discouraged. I don't feel like I can handle it. Just please help me. He'll pick you up. He'll pick you up. And he'll walk you through that valley every single time. And you'll face that giant. I don't know if you'll physically cut its head off. But spiritually, you will. You'll beat it every time. You'll pick up those stones. Because God's with you. You can handle it. When you got God, you can handle it. Anything is possible. He turned a shepherd boy into a champion. He turned a boy into a man. Because David had faith. That's the whole thing. The whole thing. Had David not had faith in his God, that wouldn't have happened. Israel would have been taken over by the Philistines. They would have been servants. They would have been slaves. But David took a stand. And you know, here's the beauty of it. I'm about to go on a roll. But I need my Dasani water. Here's the beauty of it. Now, I don't know what time frame this is. It's some time like B.C. time frame. Christ hasn't yet come. But you know what? Here's the good thing. That same God that David believed in, that same God that David had faith in, the same God that delivered him out of the paw of the lion, the paw of the bear, the hand of the Philistine, that same God is the God that we serve today. And we know that Jesus, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, they're one and the same. Jesus was there. The Holy Spirit was there. They were all there. And David believed on the same people we did way back when. So the question is, if David could have faith and face an actual giant, an actual 9-foot-tall man trying to kill everybody, and he could take a stand in that valley and say, look, I'm tired of you defying the armies of the living God. I will show you. I will show you today that there is a God in Israel. Take a stand for my Lord. Why can't we? Think about it. Why can't we? There's people out there that are all the time defying the army of God right now. It may not be a physical war like it was then, but it's a spiritual one. It's a spiritual one. There's people every day saying that God's not real, that science proves that God's not real, that that's garbage. There's no way an almighty God created everything, sent his son down to die on a cross for our sins, and then we're going to go to heaven with him. That's garbage. That's what they're saying every day. So if David could stand in front of a literal giant and say, look, buddy, I've had it up to here. This is as tall as I am, so I've had it up to here with you. I'm tired of you messing with the army of the living God. I'm tired of you messing with my brothers. I ain't having it. And God's not having it. Why can't we? Why can't we go to those people and say, look, you're entitled to your opinion. It's wrong, but you're entitled to your opinion. But I'll have you know that there is a God in Israel. There is a God in heaven. He's alive and well. He's the same then as he is now. That Jesus that died on that cross, he is alive and well, like Brandon said. His bones aren't in that tomb because he's in heaven, and he's there. But he didn't leave us alone. We still have the Holy Spirit. So even when we're about to head into that valley and face that giant problem, that giant in our life, just hang on. Say, Holy Spirit, I need you. I need you. I'm not good enough. I can't do it. Just hang on to him and he'll carry you through. Just remember that as we go outside of these walls, we think about it right here. We think about David's faith. We think about how awesome that is that he killed a giant. How cool that is. We also need to remember it outside these doors. That there's still giants walking around today. They may not be literally 9 feet tall, but there's giants walking around outside of these walls that need us to take a stand and say, look, there is a God in Israel. And it all starts with faith. I'm going to do an altar call. I just want anybody, if you feel discouraged, if you feel down, if you feel like you're not good enough to be used by God, I just want you to come down to this altar and I want you to just tell him, look, I'm not good enough for you. I'm not good enough for you, but I know that through you, anything is possible. That's what I just want you to do that. I ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes. No one's looking around. If you feel the need to come down to this altar, if somebody will play the piano, that would be awesome. I just pray. I'm going to say a prayer right quick. And then if you feel the need to come down to this altar, go ahead. Anything. Any giant problem in your life, come down. Just settle it. Settle it right here at this altar and say, Lord, I know I'm not able, but you are. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you right now. Lord, I thank you for all your many blessings. I thank you for coming down to us tonight, Lord. I thank you for being with us in this service. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone in the congregation, I pray that if there's anyone in the congregation that's discouraged, downhearted, doesn't think they're good enough, doesn't think they can handle it, I pray that they come down here and they just get one-on-one with you and you just let them know. You let them know through you anything is possible. A giant problem's a little one compared to you, Lord. You are able. Lord, I just pray that if anybody here is facing one of those giant problems, I pray that they just come and ask for your help as they go into that valley and face that giant. I pray that you'll just help them. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If anybody feels the need to come, please do. Anything. School kids, you got a test. got bills to pay. Things are going wrong in your life. You don't feel like you can make it. You don't feel like you're good enough. You don't feel like you're capable of making it. Thank the Lord we serve our Lord and Savior that is able. I pray for each and every one of you. And as you go into valleys, you may not be at one right now. That giant may not have come out yet. I pray for you. God is able. It may not be big enough. It may not be good enough. But with God, anything is possible. Thank y'all for listening to my ramblings. I may have repeated myself a time or two, but I thank y'all for being attentive. And I just pray that we all leave here tonight with an understanding and a knowledge that we serve a God that is able. We serve a God that is able. This world is bleak, it's dark, it's hard. It's hard to live in. We serve a God that can get us through anything. Those big problems are little to God. He created the world in 7 days. Well, 6 days, and He rested on the seventh. If He can do that, what are our problems to Him? They're nothing. Just stick close to God, and He is able. I thank you.
Man, did we enjoy that. Praise God, praise God. The young men that sold out for God, we appreciate you so much, both of you. Everyone stand. We thank you so much for coming. Pray for these young men. Tell you what, everyone doesn't know them. If we'll ask them to come right here, and as you're leaving, if you'll come by, shake hands with them and tell them how you appreciate them. And one of them's already surrendered. Go to the mission field. And the ushers are going to stand at the door as you leave. And if you would put something in those plates, they'll divide that offering between them. And I'm sure they can use it as they go to the ministry and where God sends them. We appreciate the goodness of God. And as they're playing, you come by and shake their hands. Then as you leave, if you will put something in the offering plate, they'll be at all the doors. We appreciate the goodness of God. Thank you so much. For everyone, mind the Lord tonight. Thank you for coming. Appreciate you, young men, so much. Brother Gunn Davis, come pray with us and for us. We lift up our hearts together unto the Lord in thankfulness for all He's done and for God calling these young men and putting them into the field to preach the word.
Before we pray, I'd like to ask the church to remember Gail's uncle, Junior Baker. We got home from church this morning, and he'd had a stroke. He is in the hospital and holding his own. And as our church members know, Gail just lost her dad the 14th. So remember the Baker family again, if you will, in prayer. We know God's able to do all things. We have total faith and trust him. I'm sure enjoy tonight. God bless you, young men.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Father, this day for your mercy and for your grace. Thank you, Father, for your kindness to us. And Father, these two young men that surrendered their hearts and their lives to preach the gospel, Lord, we thank you that little as much is yours in it. And Father, we learned is how that debt's been paid. And Father, we want to thank you for that, most of all, the blood of Christ who shed his blood, Father, to forgiveness of and remission of our sins. God, I pray now you'd be with us the rest of the week. I pray, Lord, that you'd bless Brother Brandon and Tim as they continue their ministry, they start their ministry, Lord, that they'd be filled with the Holy Ghost, and you'd help them, you'd go before them. And Father, I pray that they'd look to you, the author and the finisher of their faith, in all that they do, and we'll be careful to give you the praise and glory for everything you do in our lives. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen.